What's wrong with the new normal? Are we using the wrong tools, or maybe the right tools, but in the wrong way? Welcome to a new episode of Tech Talk, the voice of digital, a podcast from Computerwoche, CIO and channel partner. My name is Manfred Bremer. I'm an editor at Computerwoche, and I welcome you to this new podcast episode. Despite more than a year of remote work, home office as we call it in English, most companies still haven't established a routine. Many employees and managers are overwhelmed. There are still uncertainty and mistrust regarding work performance, etc. The questions are, what is wrong with the new normal? Where are the problems rooted? And what can be done? To clarify this, I'm here with Dr. Kimo Quaintance. As an education strategist, Kimo specializes in designing educational and learning experiences for long-term change. With his company IQ Gemini, he helps companies like Audi, BMW or Siemens to unleash the creative energy of teams. Hi, Kimo.
Hi, Manfred.
Despite of the situation that started more than a year ago, if you look in some companies, you get the feeling that these are still operating in a kind of crisis mode. Not economically, that usually works out quite well by now, but when it comes to the internal organization, what is going wrong?
Well, I think one thing that's going wrong is that most companies didn't realize how much they depended on informal processes, like talking in the hallways after meetings, going to lunch together, and walking together. They didn't realize how much they needed those interactions to keep the internal organization working, to keep people aligned, to keep everyone feeling connected. And so when the internal processes kind of fell away with the start of remote work, we got to see how badly designed most of our meetings really were, and how non-transparent most of our work is, and how much we need better ways to stay aligned with each other, and how little trust there is at the management level in many companies. So doing remote work really well, it's a massive, massive mind shift. It requires more autonomy in how we use our time and attention, and there's much more need for having trust over control. There's also a huge need to make them work more transparent, so we don't need to be having video conferences all day long just to stay on the same page. And I think a lot of companies don't really understand it yet, and they don't have a clear vision of where they want to be with remote work, even after almost a year of doing it.
Video conferencing was first perceived as a kind of blessing because one can see each other again, despite the physical distance. But now in many places, it becomes a kind of plague. There's a phenomenon called Zoom fatigue, tools that help to pretend, mostly children maybe, that there is something wrong with the internet connections. What is the reason that video conferences are not an adequate substitute for personal contact?
Well, the thing that people think is they think that they need to see each other. Like, as soon as we look at each other, okay, all of the personal contact's going to be there. But that's not really how it works in practice. When you have video conferences all day long, what you're essentially doing is you're forcing everyone into being in a reactive mode. Everyone's getting new information all day long, and people only have time to react to it. That's very stressful for most people. The second thing is you know, if you think about what you're doing in a video conference, you're being forced to look at yourself all day long, and you would never go to a live meeting and hold a mirror up to yourself and watch yourself all day long. On top of that, you've got all these little gaps between what you say and how people react. And most people have a feeling of being invisible most of the time when other people are speaking. So we're in these video conferences all day long, but very little of our time is spent actually speaking, being heard, knowing that we're being heard. And when video conferences are used in the wrong way, like that, then what happens is you create more and more stress and more feeling of disconnection between people, even if you're in a video conference with them all day long. So people think they need to see each other on video to feel connected and get work done. But a lot of that work can often be done even better through messenger apps, working with asynchronous video or audio messages, or using things like virtual whiteboards, which are really a game changer. Having a video conference, being in the same room, virtual room with someone, should be something really special. It should require thought and preparation so that everyone can make good reflective contributions rather than just being in a video conference is the default. That's what we do all day long.
Well, it's not only the employees. Some managers seem to get a kind of existential crisis as well. On the one hand, because employees learn to be more independent and do not necessarily need to be managed. On the other hand, there's some mistrust if things are not going well or a job is not done in time. Kimo, do we still need managers? And if yes, which role do they have to take?
Yeah, it's a really tough transition for a lot of managers who thought it was their job to make sure that people get work done. You know, basically they keep an eye on people and check, is work getting done? Is work getting done? And the role of managers is really different. The role of managers when we do really good remote work is much more of a supporting role rather than a supervisory role or observational role. And this is because trust is the only thing that makes higher levels of remote or hybrid work possible. And that requires making sure everyone's work is much more visible while also supporting this sense of psychological safety by letting people share their challenges and feelings about the work. So it's a really perfect example of where a transformation, especially for managers, is really equal parts emotional and emotional work and technical, and the role of the job and tools. So it's a balance between those things and a shifting from supervising or observing to supporting.
Well, another thing I observed is that we chat and confer now with all these tools like world champions, but the gossip in the corridor, in the canteen or coffee kitchen is somehow missing. Timo, how important is this informal communication?
Well, the little conversations that we had, like when we talked in the corridor and we talked in the kitchen, they weren't really about the content. It wasn't really about gossiping with each other. Those conversations were how we made each other feel safe, how we made each other feel connected, and how we made ourselves feel visible. So they were really about how we helped regulate our emotions with each other. And we need to bring that back into the formal meetings and remote work by giving everyone an opportunity to share how they're doing and share their thoughts and feelings about the work and share their thoughts and feelings about what is going on in their lives to help each other learn about each other. We really need to know about each other and we need to be connected. And I think the good icebreakers, like good meeting warmups, do that well. And there's massive opportunities for companies to create things like more formal support circles for their people. But we need to be intentional about it because it doesn't just happen by throwing people together for a virtual coffee break. And it doesn't happen if you just say, we're going to have a virtual happy hour after this. It doesn't replace what people are really missing. And so doing it in this different way, integrating it with the meetings, helping us stay this feeling of staying connected, is really something we have to build into the work.
Okay, we all know there are some issues from our own experience, and it's very easy to complain, but what are the alternatives? What do you reckon? What can we do to get this feeling of getting together, being one company, one team?
Yeah, getting together and being the sense of being one company and one team, a lot of it really depends on people being better at showing their work. So making the work that we do much more transparent. And so the things that I see companies doing when they're using things like shared documents, they're using things like virtual whiteboards, they're using tools like Miro or Mural, that creates an opening for people to see what has been agreed on, to see the process of decision making and create more trust in that process. And that opens the door for us to realize the number one advantage of remote work, and that is autonomy, the ability to control our own time and attention. That's what really makes high-level remote performance possible. And the only way to do that is to get better at working asynchronously, that is, working without having to do things at exactly the same time as other people, and doing that while we're creating opportunities for people to feel connected to each other, both in their work and socially.
Well, we are now in a stage where we get how we're slowly vaccinated and the shops and bureaus are opening up. Kimo, does it still make sense to make fundamental changes here? Or will it only take some time till the working situation will be like it was before the pandemic?
Yeah, I think we need to make fundamental changes for two reasons. And the first is that we are much more likely to return to something like a hybrid model where people are not going to work for, they're not going to be in the office on most days. We're much more likely to be in that situation than just going back to the old normal. And that's because the flexibility that so many people experienced during the last year, the amount of time they saved, the cost savings of not having everyone traveling to meetings, that is a huge advantage for people. We're not going back right the way it was because people aren't going to want that. So there was a recent survey of workers in the UK that showed that more than 75% of the workers there want to work 2 or 3 days a week from home after the pandemic ends, and that they actually view it as a benefit comparable to a significant pay raise. And so in some ways, I see it as like a little bit of a parallel to what was happening socially at the end of the Soviet Union. That is, when people start getting a taste of freedom and they start seeing how there are different ways to live, they don't want to go back. People are going to demand that we go to this kind of change because they really see a benefit in their personal lives. The second reason that we really need to make this fundamental change is that the companies that figure out how to do remote and hybrid work well, they are going to have huge advantages over the companies that don't. They're going to be much more productive. They're going to attract and retain better talent. They're going to be able to recruit from literally anywhere in the world, and they're going to be healthier, more enjoyable places to work. So learning how to do this kind of work well is just going to create a massive competitive and quality of life advantage for the companies that figure it out.
Yes, I think Kimo made clear that you can't just substitute analog things with digital tools. What really has to happen is a massive mindset change. Of course you need tools, but tools like messenger apps, asynchronous video or audio messages, or virtual whiteboards. These are better suited than having video conferences all day long. And another important point. This situation isn't temporary, but the new normal. The future will most likely be a hybrid model every company should adapt to, because it will also bring a lot of advantages to it. Thank you very much, dear listeners. If you like this podcast episode, you can subscribe to our podcast channel. If you have feedback, feel free to send an email to podcast@idg.de.